Help me thank God for this wonderful experience we've had in worship, our praise team, our media ministry, and it's just always good to be in the house of the Lord. I'm so grateful that God has blessed us to gather one more time in this worship experience. I invite your attention on this Sunday morning to join me in the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians is where our message for the morning is going to come from, and that's the 5th chapter and the 9th verse. 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. I'm saying the 9th verse, but actually we're picking up at the 16th verse. Sorry about that. But 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, beginning at the 16th verse. These words were written for believers in Thessalonica back then, and is written for believers on today. And I want you to hear what God has to say to us through his word. God says, the Holy Spirit inspires the writer Paul to write these words. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you. Would you just help me for a moment and turn to your neighbor like you are a preacher and just tell them, this is the will of God for you. You said it, but you didn't say it like a preacher. I mean, you need to put something in that, you know, just let them know that you believe what you're saying. Just tell them, this is the will of God for you. That's a little better. I want you to get that. For God's word is very clear in this context for us as believers to embrace and fully understand that we can know his will. And his will involves you living a life that is filled with joy, consumed by prayer, and that is always, always thankful for his goodness. So here we are. This message is initially written to believers in Thessalonica. Actually, the town, the city Thessalonica, which is currently in Greece, didn't originally go by that name. Actually, the name it went by was Therma, from which we get our word thermal, but Therma in the Greek. And it was a phenomenal city back in its day because it was named after the hot springs that were built up by the Aegean Sea, the Gulf of the Aegean Sea, that flowed into the area that gave it its hot springs that is still known today, where people travel worldwide to experience these hot springs that are now in a city named Thessalonica. Catch this. I want you to get this, because the name was changed from its original meaning to Thessalonica because there was an invasion, and under the leadership of a Macedonian king, Cassandra, he wanted to name the city after his wife, Thessalonica, and so as a gift to his wife, he renames the city. I hope you get this, because this is a context that shows you that even though outward circumstances can happen and will happen in this life beyond our control, we can still have joy. It's interesting. Paul is speaking to believers. They're in now this town, Thessalonica. They're being oppressed because of their Christian belief. And all around them, things are changing, and yet he says there's something within them that should not change. I hope you get this, because in the city of Thessalonica, even though they changed the name, the hot springs remain, which means what God put in there is still in there, no matter what's happening around there. I really hope you get this, because here are believers in the text, and they're going through something. They are under persecution, and we know that. And if you are a believer and you have been following Christ for some time, you might be able to testify that believers go through some things. I got three people on this side and one on that side. You keep living, okay? But anybody ever been through anything? You trust God. You believe in God. You know God will make a way out of no way. But every now and then, something unexpected will happen in your life, and you find yourself in a place you never thought you would be. Have you been there? And so he writes because he wants the believer to remember, he wants you and I to know that we can always, always have joy. We'll start there. We'll start there because it's God's will for us that we grow in our gratitude. And part of growing in our gratitude is to understand what God has already provided for you. He says we can still have joy. I mean, it's right there in the text. Did you read it? He said, rejoice in the Lord always. And you do know what always means, right? I mean, always is continually. It's without any inhibition or hesitation. It's what we do naturally. It's what we do in response to God's goodness. We are joyful. But I'm talking to some real people. Have you ever been joyful and sorrowful? I mean, because Doug, the reality is sometimes our joy leaks. When you're dealing with circumstances of life and you're being battered by the things that are coming upon you, stressors that are there in and out the home. In fact, some of you right now, you're glad Thanksgiving is over with so you can leave some of your family members where you did. But don't say amen too quickly on that one, all right? But stresses are always there. And there are times when you're joyful and your joy tank is full, yet before you least expect it, it seems to be depleted. Have you been there? Are we honest enough to tell the truth in here that we can even celebrate Thanksgiving and not always feel thankful? Because he's writing to real people. And the truth is that there are times, saints of God, that we are called to be joyful even when we experience sorrowful circumstances. I want to appeal to Dr. Pamela King. She's a professor at the School of Psychology, I should say, at Fuller Theological Seminary. And this is what she says, because she did extensive research on the subject of joy. And she says, and I quote, joy is more complex than a feeling or an emotion. It is something one can practice, cultivate, and make a habit. Consequently, joy is most fully understood as a virtue that involves our thoughts, our feelings, and our actions in response to what matters most in our lives. Thus, joy is an enduring, deep delight in what holds the most significance. We can experience joy and sorrow at the same time, but when Christ holds the most significance in your life, then Christ can be a supply of joy for you that will outweigh any and all sorrow. Amen. I hope you get this, because somebody in here could testify that even in tears, when you were by yourself and seeking how you were going to make it out, when you turned to Jesus Christ, you realized you weren't by yourself anymore. You realized he was right there with you. You realized that he will not abandon you. You realized that he is the source of your joy. And so he reminds us to rejoice, to have joy again. Because in Christ, there is a deep, inexhaustible well of joy. And all we have to do as believers is make a choice to seek Christ. And when we dip our buckets, our souls, our hearts into the well of Christ, that bucket is filled up with joy. Grandma says unspeakable and full of glory. But I hope you get this. It is a choice. And when you find yourself where your joy meter is running a little low, I want to encourage you to walk over to the Psalms. In fact, if you have your handouts, you'll see that I have many references for you to help you rekindle and refill your joy tank if it seems like it's getting low, because the Psalms is a great place to go. The Psalms is a great place to go when your joy is feeling low. But understand, he's telling us in the text that we must always be joyful. Rejoice always, because in Christ, joy is always available. See, God's not going to expect you to do something that he hasn't equipped you to do. And so what Christ is, God is saying in his word here is that you must give yourself fully in acknowledgement of who God is to receive joy. You know, the psalmist says in Psalm 5 and 11 that that is God who gives us protection. Look at what the psalmist says. But let all who take refuge in you, that's God, rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exalt you, for you bless the righteous. O Lord, you cover them with favor as with a shield. Has God protected anybody in here? I'm not talking about when you were asking for protection. I'm talking about when you didn't know you needed protection. And in the midst of the danger, God came and he protected you. I was there because after enjoying my time with my family, some of you may have the same experience. After enjoying my time with my family, Scott, you know, I had to cross the border into can I say tastier food? Okay, I just cross the border between Texas and Louisiana. Now, I'm a Texan by birth, so I claim my birthright, but every now and then I have to go back to where I cut my teeth. I'm getting country in here. Y'all know nothing about that. And so I went on to Louisiana with the family, and there we were. We went with the family, and I knew we had to get back, so I'm away getting back, trying to get back home in time. Guess what somebody did? You won't believe this, right? I'm driving, maintaining distance as I should be, and Scott, all of a sudden, somebody cut me off. Mm-hmm. They did. Ever happened to you? You know where I'm at then. They just cut me off, and I told God. I said, God, you saw what they did? Holy Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and said, did you see what I did? I said, what's that? He said, I kept you from that danger. I'm trying to help you understand something, y'all, that when you examine your life and you're looking, why don't I have joy? Perhaps you're focusing on the wrong details of your life, and you need to refocus your lens so you start looking at how God's hand has been on your life so you can say, you know what, there's some times and places I was where I wasn't even I shouldn't have been, and yet God in his hand of protection, he kept me. Oh, not only do you see his protection, you want to acknowledge that, but you also want to acknowledge that God's promises, God's presence, God's provisions have always been there to remind you that God is the source, should be the source of your joy. So always be joyful. Rejoice always. Acknowledgement of God. Have acknowledgement of God. But secondly, the text goes on to tell us, not only do we rejoice always, but we pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Prayer is communication with God, and the Word of God encourages you and I that our conversations with God ought to be so fluid that it's not rigid, there's not so much formality. I don't have to be in a specific place to pray, that my God is omnipresent, which means he's always with me each and every day. So that means you can speak to God no matter where you are. Oh, hold on. And you can have God speak to you. It's kind of like those ear pods you put in. You know, when you put your ear pods in, I know I lost some of you, but it's okay. I'm going to come back and get you. When you put them in, it allows you to speak. But guess what it also allows you to do? It allows you to listen. And that's what prayer is in the life of the believer. It is God has blessed us with, allowed us with, to communicate with our Creator, our Savior. He allows us to communicate with him, and with that communication, also hear him communicate to us. Look at the text. He says, listen, that God is calling us not only to be joyful, but to be prayerful. I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. Turn and look at somebody next to you. Just turn and look at them. Just look at them. Look at them. If they don't look joyful, you start praying for them right now. We ought to be prayerful. Listen, prayer, this is to communicate with God. It's interesting, this word, pray without ceasing in the Greek, the without ceasing actually speaks to, get this, it speaks to a hacking cough. That's what it speaks to, a hacking cough. It's the same word they use that when you have that that tickle in the back of your throat. You ever had that before? And you don't always want to cough, but you can't help but cough. It's a natural thing that comes out. You try to hold it in sometimes because you're on the stage and you're talking to people and you don't want them to know that you have that in the back of your throat, but you're about to cough and it comes out. It's like a hacking cough. He says praying without ceasing ought to be like a hacking cough. Like every time there's a tickle, you know you can talk to God about it. Every time there's a problem, you ought to know that you can talk to God about it. Every time somebody gets on your, no, I shouldn't say that like that. But you have trouble at work or at school, you need to talk to God about it. You need to have a relationship with God that nothing stops you from communicating with God. Let me help you understand something. God wants you to communicate with him. God loves you so much that he allows for us to communicate with him, and all we have to do is choose to pray. And listen, and let me encourage you. When you pray, as you should pray, be honest with God. I'm going to let you know a secret. He already knows. So you be honest with him. You come before him in honesty, kind of like what 1 Peter 5 tells us. He says, cast all your anxieties or all your cares upon the Lord. And let's check for a moment. How many of us in here can be honest and say, you know what? I got a few cares of my own. How many can be honest and say, you know what? I got about 10 cares. I got about 20 cares. I know I got so many cares, Pastor, I can't even number them. But guess what the text says? The text says you can take all those cares and bring them to the foot of the cross. Cast all your cares upon him, Jesus, our Savior. Catch it. Because he cares for you. I hope you get this, that the care that God has is you. And so he encourages, he admonishes, he commands us really to come to him in prayer. When we come to him in prayer, we realize not only that are we acknowledging that he's been good to us, we realize he is already there for us. And not only do you come honestly, but truly you can come confidently. Look what the Hebrew writer said. He says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in times of need. I hope you get this. God wants you to come to him. You can come to him. In fact, the text says, whosoever will, just let him come. You ever talk to somebody who didn't want to talk to you? Don't look at him right now. Don't nudge him. No. It's not a good time. And you know how that feels. You know how it feels that they don't take your concerns in consideration. They're not even worried or concerned or interested about what you're saying. And you know how it feels to not be taken seriously. And yet you have a God who's with you each and every day of your life who welcomes you to come and speak to him. And there are times we don't take him seriously. All right, now I told you I was in Louisiana, and you know I grew up in Louisiana, and it's this big metropolis called Ville Platte. Don't look it up. Don't look it up. Your high school is larger than the town I grew up in. Okay, but this is where I grew up in. Old school church, kind of church where the deacons would open up the service. Anybody know a church like that? Where the deacon, I got somebody in the back there. You know what I'm talking about. Deacons would open up the service. They would get on. We had praying preaching deacons. Oh, you don't know nothing about that, right? But let me help you introduce you to the church that I grew up in, right? So deacons would get up and we'd have what we call devotional the deacon would get up before the preacher and the deacon would read the scripture. After the deacon would read the scripture, he'd get on his knees and he began to pray, preach. You don't know what that means. That means when he's preaching, he's praying, and when he's praying, he's preaching. And so there it is, he's preaching. But here in the church I grew up in, I don't know about the church you grew up in, church I grew up in, there was one particular deacon that every time he prayed the same prayer. To the degree that I knew what he was going to say before he said it. I mean, he and then check out in his prayer, he said, God, I thank you that my last night rest wasn't my last rest. He said, you woke me up and kept me in my right mind. Thank you that my bed wasn't my cooling board. Some of y'all don't know what that is. He said, thank you that my sheet wasn't my whining sheet. Y'all don't know what that is. Let me help you understand. He says, God, I'm praying to you because if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have woke up this morning. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be in my right mind. Is there anybody in a reality right now who could testify that, you know what, had it not been for God, I wouldn't be in my right mind. In fact, the truth is, I wouldn't even be in church on a Sunday morning after Thanksgiving. Oh, you know that's all God. There's no games today, are there? And yet we have the opportunity to speak to him. Right? I really want you to get this. Because God wants you to cultivate a relationship with him to the degree that when you speak to him, it's not like it's the first time. You know, that your amen is really a continuation. It's like, you know, God, you know we're going to pick this up again, right? Because God wants us to pray to him without ceasing. This is every time there's a need. This is every time there's a desire. Honestly, confidently, we pray to God, even dependently, because we know that we need him. I've been living long enough to know that I need God. Those of you in school and you had to take any tests, you know that you need God. Those of you who have to go to work on Monday morning, and you know what you have to face there. You know you need, but not only that, had it not been for God. Let me say it this way, like I like to tell you all the time. This is the day the Lord has made. You ought to, that's that word again, right? Rejoice and be. Why am I glad? Because I can talk to him. Why am I glad? I get to have an audience with the creator of the universe that whatever's wrong, I know he can make right. And if he chooses not to make it right, he can make me right to go through whatever's wrong that I can have a testimony that he's able to keep you. Oh, I shouldn't get this excited already. Thank you, Jesus. I appreciate that, Lord. And so here it is. We'll always pray and communicate with God. And that should be repeatedly. So here it is. Number one, we should always rejoice, right? We should always rejoice as acknowledging God and all that he has done. We should always pray. It's through prayer that we have a relationship with God, through Christ Jesus. It's through prayer that we're able to be filled with the Spirit of God. It's through prayer that we communicate with God and we hear God communicate with us. And thirdly, we must always be always be thankful. This is having a gratitude for God. When I'm talking about being thankful, it is rolling back the Rolodex in your mind to realize that everything you have, James says, every good and perfect gift, everything you have that is good came from God. It's coming to the realization that, you know what, God has been better to me than I have deserved. I feel like I'm the only one in here to tell the truth, but truly, God has been good to me. Let's think about how good God has been. He says, give thanks in all circumstances. Somebody say all? Yeah, in all circumstances. That means then that God will give you a reason to be grateful in every circumstance you go through, even if the circumstance you go through isn't always good. I hope you get this. That you will have a reason to be grateful. God, I'm not feeling my best, but I thank God I was able to make it to worship. God, I may not have the best car in the lot, but God, my car made it here. Anybody here got a reason to be thankful? I got a reason to be thankful. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I've been over, and yet I'm here. Listen, I don't have to know the details of your life. I don't have to know all that you've been through. But by the fact that you are here today tells me that God has been good to you. And when you understand how good God has been, you ought to be grateful. You ought to be thankful. Not just on a holiday. Thanksgiving for the believer is not just sitting around the table, enjoying time with family, and then leaving and going back to normal. No, Thanksgiving ought to be our normal. Because we know something. We know that God not only gives us good and perfect gifts, but he keeps giving it. Over and over again, God keeps giving it. Anybody ever known how patient God has been, that he's been patient over and over? Somebody said, God gave me a second chance, but we know the truth, right? We ran out our second chance a long time ago. God has been giving you another and another and another chance. We know that our God has been faithful to us. He's forgiven us. You see, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, so I know all of us in here have something to be forgiven for. Look at God. Through Christ Jesus, he has forgiven us of all our sins. Are you thankful for that? Yeah. Are you thankful that though you were detestable and you were born a wretch, that's what amazing grace, how sweet it sounded to save a wretch like me. You were a wretch in sin. You didn't want anything to do with God, and yet God wanted everything to do with you, and he gave you forgiveness through Christ Jesus that you might be a part of his family. Are you thankful for that? Are you thankful for the fact that you can come to God and you know, as we've seen greatness, his faithfulness, that God was faithful to you even when you were not faithful to him? Are you grateful for that? Are you thankful for the fact that God has given you grace, his favor? We don't deserve it, but he gives it. Why does he give it? Because he loves you. Are you thankful for that? Oh, and let's not talk about just all the other lanyap that he gives you. Maybe if we took the time out to begin to write out all the good things God has done in our lives. And in fact, it might be overwhelming when I say all your life. Maybe just today. You write out all the good things God has done for you today. I assure you that when you look at it and you balance it on the scale of life, when you balance your life out, you put it on a scale, you realize that you have more reasons to rejoice than to be sorrowful. As you look at that scale tilting, you realize that God has done so much that I forgot all the stuff God has done for me. God has rescued me through so much, I forgot all that God has rescued me from. God continues to bless me so much that I don't, and then when you look at it, you realize, you know what, God? I done thanked you so much, I forgot what I came here to ask you. Because you've been just that good to me. That's what I'm trying to tell them, baby. I hope they get it. So I want to close this way, and that's in Psalm 103. I tell you, the Psalms is a rich well of where you want. If you're leaking your joy, you can go to and you can experience joy again. Some of you know this by memory, but I want to bring it to our consideration. Where the psalmist says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. You know his benefits? You know something about benefits, don't you? That when you go and you get a job and they tell you the base salary, you lean in and say, okay, I understand that, but are there any... I got some people in here that understand that here. Well, guess what? When you come to Christ, let me help you understand something. You get salvation. That's what you're going to get. But guess what? There's some more. You're going to get peace that surpasses all understanding. That's a benefit. Ask somebody who's troubled all night long that God is able to give you a peace that nobody will be able to understand. That is a benefit. You'll have joy at the beginning of our text when everything around you seems like you ought to be losing your mind, crying yourself to sleep. God can hold you steady through it all because one of the benefits that he gives you joy and peace and patience and long suffering. He just gives it to you, not to mention his wisdom. And with that comes all of the added benefits. That's what he says. He forget not all the benefits. Look, verse 3. Who forgives not some of your iniquity, not some of our trespasses. No, he forgives all of our iniquities. Who heals all of your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit. Who's crowned you with steadfast love and mercy. Y'all, we got a reason to be thankful. Who satisfy you with good, which means then, no matter what you're going through, you still have a reason to be thankful to God. Because notice what the text says. He says, be thankful in everything, not thankful for everything. There's some things that happen in life that we're not thankful for. But in the midst of it, you can be thankful that when you have a relationship with God, that God is in it with you. There are so many in biblical texts who have a testimony of going through some difficult times in life. And yet they weren't thankful for the difficulty. They were thankful for the faithfulness of God and God's
presence who was with them while they were going through the difficulty. So it's my prayer. My prayer that we commit to being grateful for our faithful God. Because God has been faithful to each and every one of us. So as you look into your life this week and you live your life as a witness for Christ, I want to encourage you to let gratitude be the primary motivator for everything you do. And when somebody asks you, why do you still have joy? Why do you pray? Why are you thankful? You're able to tell them, let me tell you just a little bit about what my God has done for me. God has always watched over you. Through good days, through not so good days, God has been there. God has always welcomed you when you wanted to be in his presence, when you didn't want to be in his presence. He welcomed you. God has been giving you life each and every day. A new day of life that's filled with brand new mercies. He does it if you recognize it or not. And there's so many blessings that the devil wants to distract you from because he doesn't want you to know about this joyful life that you could have in Christ. I invite you to bow your heads all over this building. Because in the text he says we ought to always pray. In fact, if you want to have joy, start praying. Be thankful for this opportunity God has given us. That we can come to him, even if it's our first time. And he'll be here. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your continued goodness in our lives. Thank you for how your presence has always been here. You've communicated your love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ, our Savior, died for us. And that in believing on him, we could have an eternal relationship with you, filled with joy, filled with hope, filled with peace, that our lives will reflect your will that you have for us in Christ. I pray that you continue to stir the hearts and minds of these your people, that those who are without relationship with you will come to know you on this day, because we can be thankful that you've blessed us with this day that we can come to you. So guide us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us online. We hope today's experience encouraged and challenged you. At Champion Forest, we are passionate about all kinds of people coming to know God, to grow in their relationship with him and others, and then to go out and make a difference in the world. We would love the opportunity to talk and pray with you. To connect with us, just go to championforest.org/connect. And hey, of course, we can't wait to welcome you on campus, in person, on one of our locations. We'll see you soon.